Therefore, we may have a little bit more understanding when this, when we see the scripture when it says about the moon being turned to blood. And the stars, which differ from another in glory, speak of the individual believers, sons of God, those who are children of God, whose shine is from us. Each one has its own glory, each one differing from another. You see, every one of us has individual lights, so to speak. There's not two of us that are the same. But yet you put us all together, and it's a whole different glory. It's a whole different expression. Right? So you see that the moon has a certain light, and it's reflecting the light from the sun. The church really is reflecting, demonstrating the light of Jesus Christ. And yet when the stars, you look at the stars up there, and you see them all twinkling, and they're all having a little bit different sheen, all they're a little bit different twinkle, they're types, they're patterns of those in the heavens that are individual lights. Every one of us is a light on ourselves, right? But it's not merely the light individually, as it is when the light, when the church is together collectively as the moon. Because the church together collectively is reflecting the light of the sun, Jesus. And so he put these lights in the heavens, and did so for a purpose, to for the division, divide light and darkness, and that's your call and mine. To be salt, to be divide, to be a dividing line between light and darkness. He also says here it's for signs, for seasons, for days, for years. That's what those natural lights do. But everything, all the invisible things are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, Romans 1:20 tells us. Even his eternal power and Godhead can be understood by the things that are made. And so they see it there for signs and seasons. Yet the scripture says that we, as the children of God, are also to be signs, are to be signs and wonders. Did you know that? Isaiah 8 says that. Sometimes I say that all too often what we do is we sigh and wonder. But we're really supposed to be signs and wonders, right? Now listen to what else he says there. He says it's to give light upon the earth. Now let me ask you something. If we're seeing the glimmer, if we're seeing the correlation that all this has to do with the heavens, all this has to do with, if you please, about in the spirit, is to give light upon the earth. Now if we understand that those are on the earth or those are in the carnal realms, is it not true that those who have the light of the spirit, who are moving in the spirit, they're to give light to those that are still in the carnal realm on the earth? Notice what else it says, it's to give light, it's to rule or to govern. As he says here, it's to rule over the day, the moons, the suns to rule over the day, and the moons to rule over the night. Stars are made also, which are lesser lights. None of us have as much light individually as we do when we're together collectively. Are you getting the picture? So what does all this speak to us? What he brought forth on the fourth day all had to do with ministry and authority. Those lights have the authority to establish signs. They have the authority to establish seasons. They have the authority to establish days. They have the authority to establish years. Ministry and authority. And it's all in the heavens, in the spirit. Pentecost brings everything up into the spirit. Do you see the correlation there at all? Let's go over to Exodus chapter 25. As I said, I'm going to try to not get it bogged down with so much detail that it becomes boring, but just give you enough to kind of whet your appetite and kind of keep the overview of it going, to keep our correlation going here, so that we just kind of see what the Lord wants to say through all these things. The next piece of furniture that we come to is the candlestick. We're going to pick this up in verse 32, but I've got the wrong reference here. I need to pick it up in verse 31. So we want to change your references. Verse 31, not 32. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches and his bowls and his knops, his flowers shall be the same. The six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick on one side and three branches of the candlestick on the other side. three bowls should be like unto almonds, with a knop and the flour on one branch, and three bowls made like unto almonds on the other branch with knop and flour. So shall the six branches that come out of the candlestick. Candlestick shall be four bowls. In the candlestick shall be four bowls made of, like almonds, with their knops and their flowers. There shall be a knop under two branches of the same, a knop under two branches of the same, a knop under two branches of the same. For those on the tape is not stuck, that's what it says. According to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. It shall be one beaten work of pure gold. Thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. The tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, all these vessels. And look that thou make it after the pattern which was shown thee on the mountain. All the detail that's in this candlestick. We're not even going to attempt to scratch the surface. I want to give you some of the few generalities. First thing I want to say, it's not a candlestick at all. It's a lampstand. A candle consumes itself to give light. But this particular lampstand never ran dry. The oil was replenished twice a day, morning and evening. Hallelujah. It was to give light in the holy place. It was the only light in the holy place. It was beyond the veil, beyond the door. It was out from under the natural light of the natural sun. Where we saw that this is even where the table of showbread was, as we looked at that last time. That it's in there to where it's moving out in the hidden realm, if you please. The natural eye can't behold it. It's in the spirit, if you please. It is speaking of ministry in the spirit, of the oil that's also beaten and brought forth, that is flowing there continually to give light and all that's down there in the holy place. Beautiful picture of ministry in the spirit. Just want to look at a couple of things, though. Notice it talks about the candlestick and his shaft and his branches and his bowls, etc. It's referring to it all as his. I see this as Jesus in the midst of the candlestick. Three on either side, making seven. You notice they don't come out the front. They don't come out the back. They come out his side. Therefore, Hebrews 2 and 11 says that he's... Wait a minute. Let me just read it for you. This is too good. I don't want to misquote it for you. It's both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You see, as we allow the Spirit of God to bring us into the anointing, as we allow the purification to take place that is necessary in that place, the Lord himself is not ashamed to call us brethren. He's not saying, well, you're behind me this way, or now that you're ahead of me, but they come out of the side. Standing there, if you please, together, ministry. Because you see, God has, in times past, he spoke unto us by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken unto us by the Son, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the Son speaking, the candlestick in the holy place. It's made of pure, beaten gold. No, there's no wood involved here at all, no flesh. It's all gold, godly quality, the nature of God really being expressed. Because you see, when the Son was here, he said, I can do nothing of myself, but only that which I see my Father doing, that's what I do. Hallelujah. And as I said, I think last time, gold speaks of the nature of God. Silver speaks of the redemption of Christ, or redemptive nature. Precious stones speak of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so when you have this candlestick here is of pure gold. It speaks that this is a pure work of God. It's purely spirit. Flesh has nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. Flesh has nothing to do with it whatsoever. All these knops and flowers and almonds that are on these all speak of authority. Remember the account in Numbers 17 when Korah and his cohorts were challenging that Aaron and Moses had taken too much authority. And so the Lord was wroth with them, and he said, all right, I'll show you whom I have chosen, and I'll show you who shall speak for me. And we know how they put these rods before the Lord, and Aaron's rod budded. It budded. See, what did it say here? It said it had flowers, it budded, and had almonds, right? So the almonds, I see almonds speaking, among other things, of authority. And so he's saying here, listen, all this is the authority of the Spirit that's in the church. It's to give light in the holy place. To give light in the holy place. Ministry in the holy place. Authority in the holy place. And the only authority that is to stand in the holy place is that which comes out of the oil of the Spirit. Oh, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. One more, just one more thought on this. Is that holy place was 20 cubits long, 10 cubits wide, and 10 cubits high. And you put it all together, 20 by 10 by 10, you have 2,000 cubic cubits. Now, I don't suppose that could have any correlation with 2,000 years of the church age. Would you think it would? Now, would you say? Now, would that indicate that the supernatural ministry in the church passed out with just the first 100 years? Or if that's the light of the whole holy place, don't you suppose it was supposed to be there to have light for the whole age of the church? Until we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I wonder if there isn't a correlation there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All that takes place here again represents ministry in the Spirit. Let's quickly go over to Revelation chapter 2. Oh. Do you think that this book was written by many men, or do you think it was written with one master plan? I mean, I'm talking about the whole Bible. I'm not just talking about Revelation. I'm talking about the whole Bible, the book of the Bible. 66 books. One master plan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Revelation chapter 2. Let's begin reading with verse 18. Run down through the rest of the chapter here. Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, which hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass. And I know your works, and the charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, the last, to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches will know that I am he that searches the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Notice he doesn't give it to you according to your doctrine. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, that is the doctrine of Jezebel, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which you have already. And this is it, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him, and to him alone, will I give power over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This particular letter to the churches here, the churches of Thyatira, he commends them on various things, but he has this against them, that they allow Jezebel to teach. He calls herself a prophetess, and she's teaching mixture. She's teaching that if fornication is all right, what she represents is the flesh teaching. She's the flesh teaching, another unclean spirit teaching in the church. It should not be. The church is supposed to be taught by the Son, a ministry in the Spirit. She's teaching mixture and compromise. She's teaching in the flesh. You know, even those who have the baptism of the Spirit, at times there's a temptation to just keep going in the flesh, business as usual, the program must go on. But I'll tell you what, that's a dangerous, dangerous place for anyone who has the baptism of the Spirit, who has the calling of God, who has the light of the candlestick burning. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be in. Mixture and compromise is not to be tolerated in the church. The church is to be fed with the pure light of a pure candlestick resulting from pure oil that is continuously replenished in it day after day after day after day. Just like as ministry, we have to be continuously replenished. The oil has to be continuously changed, if you please. It has to be continually made new. That's why it's very necessary for any who minister in the Word and who minister in the church, in the Spirit, they have to have a vital relationship with the Lord to keep that oil and flowing and keep it pure. Mixture is not to be tolerated. Well, he said, now what you have to do here is you've got to hold fast till I come. It's a lot easier to receive something than it is to hold on to it, right? Would we agree to that? Well, he says, if you overcome, though, if you overcome yielding to that kind of mixture and overcome yielding even to the desire to move in mixture or to teach in the flesh when you should be teaching in the Spirit, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you power over the nations. Authority. Now, you may see that to be the nations of this world, and I'm sure that's part of it. But I'll tell you where I see the first power of the nations being, and that's those nations we studied out of Deuteronomy 7. For just as Jesus had power over the nations around, the prince of this world came and found nothing in it. He said, I'm going to give you, it says here, he said, you shall rule them with a rod of iron, even as I received of my Father. I believe the first power we have over the first nations are those spiritual nations, demonic spirits, warfare, spiritual wickedness in high places that we're to have authority over and move in. That's spiritual authority, spiritual ministry. He says, out of that, he says, I'm going to give you, he said, even as I have received of my Father. That's the authority of Christ. We're not going to be moving in our own authority, but in the authority of Christ. Another thing he said, I'll give you the morning star. The morning star, as Revelation 22 says, gives that which verse it is, 14 or something like that, says, and that's just quickly, I'll turn to it here. Show you what it says here. It says, Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Jesus is the morning star. So he says, I'll give you the morning star. What that tells me is it's the life of Christ that is really going to be ours. The morning star is a new day. It's a morning star. It's not an evening star. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. Again, I see it all speaking now of ministry and authority in the Spirit. The fourth day. The fourth day. Well, in summary, very quickly as we take a look at it here, we see that on this, that the progressive rest that we have here, the fourth rest that we are to enter into, is to rest in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What a rest that is. What a rest. No servile work, but a rest in the Spirit. This is the rest wherewith I have called the weary to rest. On our far as our spiritual walk is concerned, I see this fourth feast representing beginning to walk in a spiritual ministry, spiritual liberty, spiritual life, moving by the anointing, moving away from carnality. Even though leaven, the sin nature, is still present, yet as we submit ourselves to the refining dealings of the Lord, even though there is still leaven present, it becomes a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. He smells the offering. He does not hold us to the leaven. Well, we're midway in our feast. We have looked at, so far, everything has been history. When we look at it, the Feast of Trumpets, the blowing of the trumpets, Day of Atonement, Atonement and Tabernacles, we're looking at present and future. Hallelujah. That's when it's going to really start getting good. And this is why we can see, as I said earlier when we started this teaching, that we can, when you see how this all lines up, you can see exactly where the church is in the overall economy of God. You can see where we are, and although Jesus said the Father does not give you to know the day or the hour when his appearing is going to be, we can know and are supposed to know the season. Right? And so we can know the seasons where we are. We know about how much time there is left before the great Jubilee trumpet will blow and all the captives will go free. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the beauty, the glories of your word, the intricate way in which you've woven it all together for us. Lord, that even a fool cannot err therein. How thankful we are, Lord, that you've chosen us and called us, that you've commissioned us. And fathers, we're seeing it all unfold. We want to walk in a way that's fitting so great a calling. Lord, we've looked at a lot of things and covered a lot of ground tonight. And Father, I would just ask that which has been of me, you'd sift away, and that which has been the truth, that you'd plant it deep in fertile ground, that it might bring forth hundredfold. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have of gathering together like this and hearing your word, learning from it, and growing thereby. We thank you for it in Jesus.